interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National earthquake.
Breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird. The unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it. We go in the field to investigate. Well, let's start tonight in the freaky state of Florida. Listen to this. A 31-year-old man, a ghost hunter from Miami, Florida, has been charged with first-degree murder. He posted a photo of his 26-year-old wife's dead, bloody body on his Facebook page, and he wrote, quote, "I'm going to prison or a death sentence for killing my wife. Love you guys. Miss you guys. Take care, Facebook people. You will see me in the news. My wife was punching me, and I am not going to stand anymore with the abuse, so I did what I did," end quote. According to him, his wife pulled a knife from one of the kitchen drawers and threatened him with it, and while armed with a handgun, he disarmed the knife from his wife. And during the struggle, she allegedly kicked and punched him. He claimed he shot her several times in self-defense. And after the murder, he left his 10-year-old daughter alone with her mother's body and drove himself to the police station. This guy is also an actor. He has appeared on the television show Burn Notice and has authored several self-published self-help books. And being a ghost hunter, they say he's explored all kinds of allegedly haunted places throughout Florida and Louisiana. And he also claims that he once saved his wife from a ghost attack. How weird is that? Well, thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer tonight is Mr. Hardwood Forrest Connor. Good evening, Forrest.
Good evening, Joshua. I saw your Puppy Fest article was in Mountainous Press this week.
It sure was. We are delighted about that because, you know, last week I just read sort of the rough draft of the press release, and the press release went out a few days later, and now, boom, it's being picked up all over. You have the Mountain Express, the Laurel of Asheville, where I've got a bunch of interviews lined up with other media. Puppy Fest is officially exploding now. And therefore, we want puppies. Anybody who's got a puppy, go to puppyfest.com and email us because we want to put your puppy on the American Idol of puppies, and you could win some money and a trophy and have some fun. So we're very excited about that. Forrest, you don't have a puppy, do you?
I don't.
Oh, well, that's a shame. And Shelley Wright, I know you're a kitty cat person, right. So you don't have a puppy either.
I don't have a puppy.
So if Wright's Coin Shop had a mascot, it would be a kitty cat rather than a puppy.
Maybe it would be kitties and puppies.
Cats and dogs. Is there still a restaurant in Nashville called Cats and Dogs?
There used to be one over in Grove Arcade. I don't know if it's still there or not.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, the business is so unpredictable these days. But, you know, guys, I got to tell you, I am so excited about tonight's program. And speaking of Asheville, of course, for those who don't know, I am personally right now sitting in Puerto Rico at the Bermuda Triangle Base Camp, and this is the last show that I'm going to be broadcasting from Puerto Rico for a while, because after this I do an expedition, and then I'm going to come back to Asheville for Puppy Fest, and then after that I'll be broadcasting out of Asheville again for a while. But in Asheville, one of the big popular attractions that is especially hot this time of year as the fall progresses soon is the Asheville Mystery Museum. And, of course, that museum was founded and created by myself. It's in the basement of the Asheville Masonic Temple off of Broadway. And whenever somebody takes one of my Haunted Asheville ghost tours, or the Vampire and Occult Tour, or whatever, we take them into the Asheville Mystery Museum. Well, there are all kinds of wild things in the museum, but I have always felt that kind of the star attraction is what we call Art Bell's Alien. And Art Bell, the creator of Coast to Coast AM, had a 100-pound, 4-foot-tall wooden alien statue that was in his home and studio for many, many years as he broadcast these classic Coast to Coast AM shows. And Art had to get rid of it a few years ago because his family was terrified. They claimed this statue of this alien was coming to life at night and running around and just scaring the bejesus out of everybody. So we found Carville a great home, and there's a lot more to this story we'll talk about later. But there's been this mystery about the exact origin of Carville the alien. We know that Art was given Carville by Rush Limbaugh, as odd as that seems, because those two have nothing in common politically. They're just both radio guys. So we've not known anything about the origin of this statue. Is this something that came from outer space? Well, Vance Pollock, our chief historian at the museum, he's been a bloodhound tracking down the origin of the statue for years, and he finally found the man, the artist, who actually carved Carville the Alien. The artist's name is Darren Hussey, and he is actually a very successful and well-known sculptor of bronze nowadays. He travels all over the world doing bronze work, but there was a time when he was carving wooden things. And I spoke to him, and he is going to be on the show tonight. And he's going to tell us the story of how he created this statue. And believe it or not, he was not surprised when I told him that people believe this alien statue comes to life and moves around, because this is not the first time Darren has encountered this sort of thing in his work as a woodcarver. How cool is this going to be, guys, that we get to hear from the man who created the statue?
That's awesome.
I'm so excited.
I mean, for a long time, it seemed almost impossible that we were going to be able to get, you know, we were going to be able to find the origin. But, you know, that shows you, Vance is the man. Actually, he's the private investigator.
One thing to ask him, would he have any pointers on, you know, Carville's arm has a couple issues going on with it.
Some little cracks and stuff.
Would he have any advice on how to maybe repair that or fill it in?
Well, that's a very good point. We'll have to ask him because I'm not sure even exactly how many years ago he created it. In fact, I need to look that up. He said it was He told me it was in the 1990s, and it was an election year. So we'll do a little research here, unless you know off the top of your head for us. In the late 90s election year, or maybe, I think it was late, maybe it was earlier. Well, anyway, look up election years in the 1990s, Forrest, and we'll ask Darren which one it seems to match up with.
It would probably be 92.
Okay, so either 92 or 90s.
88, 92, or 96.
Okay. For some reason, I'm thinking 96 might be more like it, but we'll ask him more about that when we get him on the air. And listen to this. You know, last week on the show, we had to say goodbye to a friend of ours. It was very sad. Shag Kladowski recently passed away. And just hours after the show aired, our friend Tad McDivitt became a father. His wife, Simone, gave birth to a little baby boy. And I thought to myself, boy, isn't that the circle of life? You know, it's like one of our friends dies, and then a few hours after we broadcast it, another friend has a baby born. That's how it goes, isn't it? But we want to congratulate Tad McDivitt and his wife, Simone. Tad, of course, is not only a great friend who has also appeared on this show numerous times, but he is the chief occult researcher at the Asheville Mystery Museum. He guides a lot of the tours. And his little son is named Demian Sirius Owings McDivitt. And the first name is, it's kind of like Damien, but with an E. Demian Sirius, just like the constellation there. Demian Sirius Owings McDivitt, and he was born last Sunday morning, August 18th, 2013, at 5:05 a.m.
Congratulations, Tad.
Congratulations.
Tad and family. Yeah.
So we're going to keep an eye on this kid. Tad's already saying this is going to be my wonder boy here, and I believe it. And speaking of birthdays, I also want to give a belated birthday shout-out to my brother-in-law, Charles, out there in the Wild West of Texas. Charles is actually, let me tell you something, Charles, not only happy birthday, but you're in for a very weird year, because Charles is going to be coming here to Puerto Rico later this year to go on an expedition with me, with his family. Lauren and I are going to show him around, and it's going to be fun. You know, guys, Charles's name is Charles Munson, so he's just one letter away from Charles Manson. And so his whole life, he's got to be very particular, because if somebody gets that letter wrong, they're going to be scared to death. You got to keep this guy. He might be a little crazy, right? But no, happy birthday, Charles. And okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back from this break, we're going to dig into all kinds of bizarre news. I've got news from all over the world, especially what's happening with people who are calling 911 these days. We'll tell you a story from Maryland about a guy who went into a bank. And it's one thing to go in and try to rob a bank. This guy did something much more creative. Let me tell you, there's just a pile of weird stuff to dig into tonight, and that's what we do best. We talk about the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary. Yes, the downright weird. It's a show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and we'll get officially kicked off right after this.
With your torso, boys getting high and the girls even more so. Wave your hands if you're not with a man. Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
I got, you got, we got everybody. I got the gift, gonna stick it in the goal. It's time to move your body. Babylon back in business. Can I get a witness? Every girl, every man. Houston, do you hear? Can you feel me? Need permission to live. masses. Music for your masses. Give no head, no backstage passes. Have a proper giggle, I'll be quiet for life. But when I rock the mic, I rock the mic. You got no love and you're with the wrong man. It's time to move your body. If you can't get a girl but your best friend can, it's time to move your body. I don't wanna be sleazy. Baby, just tease me. Got no family plan. Houston, do you hear me? Ground control, can you feel me? Need permission to land. I don't wanna rock DJ, but you're making me feel so nice. When's it gonna stop, DJ? Could you keep me up all night?
Heart of the Bermuda Triangle, hitchhiking Puerto Rico's extraterrestrial highway. I am your host, the Wizard of Weird, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange. Don't forget you can go to speakingofstrange.com for a live chat during the show, regular updates on weird news around the world, more information on topics discussed, and links to the official Haunted Asheville Ghost Tour. That's hauntedasheville.com. You'll also find our Facebook page and a link to my Twitter account. And you know, I post cool stuff once in a while. In fact, just a few days ago, I posted a link on my Twitter account to a short video explaining how to see the aura. And so hopefully you can go there and check it out. And also don't forget about Producer Forrest's Twitter feed. That's at SOS Hardwood. And mine is at Joshua P. Warren, I think. Yeah. So, and we usually kind of retweet each other's stuff a little bit, right, Forrest?
We do.
Yeah. Okay, so welcome back to the program. Yes, a lot of strange stuff to get into tonight, and there's some stuff that I hope we have time to get to, but I'm not even going to plug it until I see, because we have so much stuff. But let's just start with some weird stories from around the world. Here's one from Japan. And I always think it's interesting when people call 911 and sort of abuse it. They don't understand how 911 is supposed to work. But imagine this. A guy in Japan is in trouble because he has placed over 28,000 911 calls. This became his hobby. He would make sometimes hundreds and hundreds of these in just a week. They say that on some busy, really busy days, he'd place over 1,000 phone calls, and he would always do the same thing. He would call 911, they would pick up the phone, and he would make some fart noises and then hang up. That was his modus operandi. And, of course, there are a lot of people out there who are abusing 911 calls in general. You can go to prison for doing this, mind you. Even though that guy was in Japan, we have a public service note here from Fairfield, Connecticut. A Connecticut police department there has put out a release through ABC News to inform their community that it is not a police emergency if your cable goes out and you miss your favorite TV show. Because Fairfield police say they have received numerous 911 calls about a cable outage that hit parts of southwestern Connecticut one night. And they say it's neither an emergency or a police-related concern. It's only for life-threatening emergencies. Well, and I think, you know, there's a fine line.
It depends on what show it is. I mean, some okay. True Blood fans out there, if it went out Sunday night, it was the season finale, a lot of people might have, like, want to know what happened. I mean,
well, or like right in the middle of the Super Bowl or you know, the last quarter or whatever,
exactly.
You know, something like that.
Exactly.
you know, Forrest, do you want to fess up a little bit and tell people about the special little watch that you used to have?
What do you mean used to have? I still have it.
We don't want you to get your butt kicked, but, you know, just for the listeners who want to know your secrets, the bag of tricks you've got.
There was a watch that I picked up at for like $5 at a place, and it actually you can program it to control different television sets. And I know you and I sat in a couple bars on a few occasions, and we're actually messing with the bartender's head.
I sat with you guys a few times when you did that.
And they cannot figure out what the heck was going on with this, with the TV. And Josh, being the ghost investigator, was like, maybe you need me to come in here and investigate your bar.
Sometimes it's so easy to abuse our status as paranormal investigators, isn't it? Oh, man. But, yeah, now, if you did that, though, seriously, if you went into a sports bar on Super Bowl night or a similar occasion, and you just turned off all the TVs at a crucial moment, they would mob you, and you'd be lucky if you got tarred and feathered. There's no telling what else.
That's why you don't get caught doing it.
Yeah, if you need to maybe go to the bathroom and see if your signal will reach. But that is a fun thing to play with. And now we've given some ideas to our audience, and they're going to go out and go berserk. By the way, let me make a little programming note here before I forget. I mentioned that this is the last Speaking of Strange that I'm going to be doing from Puerto Rico, because I have an expedition coming up that's going to be next week, and then after that I'm going to be transitioning back to Asheville. So I presume that we may have our next new Speaking of Strange on September the 14th. However, September is when a lot of the sporting events kick back in, and so from time to time, this show does get preempted for sports. That's just the way it works in radio.
The way it looks like we will be free and clear that night.
Okay. Well, hopefully we'll be able to do our next brand new show on September the 18th, September the 14th. And Mobius, he implores me to make it very clear to everybody that he says when we go a week or two without a show, our audience starts flipping out. And I've asked him, I said, because he operates the Facebook page and he's more exposed to the reaction. And he says that for so many people around the world, this is more than a show. This is sort of like a cathartic release for them. They tune in. We are their friends who try to bring some sanity to the chaos of the world. And it really upsets people when we go a week or two or three and we don't have a new show. And I find that very flattering. And I thank all of you who feel that way for being so attached to the show. But I think it's important to remind all of you from time to time that I feel the reason you like this show so much is that we are actually getting out in the world and experiencing a lot of interesting stuff in life, that we're not just trapped in a studio all the time. We are not first and foremost broadcasters. We're going out and doing other things, researching stuff, investigating stuff, and then bringing a piece of it back on the air. And so it's very, very difficult sometimes for us to work out the scheduling, for us to be able to go out and obtain this information that you find so interesting and keep it on a regular broadcast schedule at the same time. So just whenever we're not able to do the show, just bear in mind it's actually probably a good thing, because that means we're out there getting great content to bring to you the next time the show does air. But thank you all for feeling so sensitive about whether or not we are able to put this show on.
And again, like I say every week, if we have a Best Of show coming up, let me know if you want to hear a certain show or a certain topic, and I'll do my best to get that on at soshardwood.com on Twitter.
Yeah, there you go, at soshardwood.com. By the way, a lot of people are liking... it's just at soshardwood.
At okay. Twitter.com.
At Twitter.com, okay. And also, a lot of people are going to the Puppy Fest Facebook page and liking it, and we appreciate you doing that, because that helps us out with our marketing. Hey, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I got a weird story for you from Maryland. And again, this is about a guy who goes into a bank, and obviously he's in there to get some money using underhanded means. But I've never heard of anybody trying to do it this way before. It involves President Obama. I'll explain when we return. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to the show where the unusual becomes usual. This is Speaking of Space.
Standing alone, my senses reel. Fatal attraction. Bike with no handlebars, no handlebars, no handlebars. I can ride my bike with no handlebars, no handlebars, no handlebars. Look at me, hands in the air like it's good to be alive. And I'm a famous rapper even when the paths are all crookedy. I can show you how to do-si-do, I can show you how to scratch a record. I can take apart the remote control, and I can almost put it back together. I can tie a knot in a cherry stem, I can tell you about Lee Erickson. I know all the words to De Colores, and I'm proud to be an American. Me and my friends are platypus, me and my friend made a comic book. And guess how long it took? I can do anything that I want, cause look, I can keep rhythm with no metronome, no metronome, no metronome. And I can see your face on the telephone, on the telephone, on the telephone. Look at me, just called to say that it's good to be alive. In such a small world, I'm all curled up with a book to read. I can make money, open up a thrift store, I can make a living off a magazine. I can design an engine 64 miles to a gallon of gasoline. I can make new antibiotics, I can make computers survive aquatic conditions. I know how to run a business, and I can make you want to buy a product. Movers, shakers, and producers, me and my friends understand the future. I see the strings that control the system, I can do anything with no assistance. Cause I can lead a nation with a microphone, with a microphone, with a microphone. And I can split the atoms of a molecule, of a molecule, of a molecule. My reach is global, my tower secure, my cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations, let them all die from exasperation, have them all healed from the lacerations, or have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison just because I don't like them, and I can do anything with no permission. I have it all under my command because I can guide a missile by satellite, by satellite, by satellite. And I can hit a target through a telescope, through a telescope, through a telescope. And I can end the planet in a holocaust, in a holocaust, in a holocaust.
Yes, speaking of strange, a show where the unusual becomes usual, keeping you updated on the insanity in the world and the mystery to be explored. That's what we do best here. Thanks for spending your evening with us. And I tell you, a lot of places around the United States, just like Western North Carolina, have just been incessantly plagued by torrential rain for most of the year 2013. And just imagine what this winter is going to be like if this amount of precipitation continues. Imagine the historic blizzards that may be on the way. And that's one of the reasons that we have already, even though here it is, it's August, it's summertime, we have already been selling Sunshine Simple solar generators for the home around the country, and people are buying them along with our special heat and lighting kit. That's how we know this is for the winter. These are for smart people who are looking ahead and who are preparing for when that power goes down, when they can't get fuel, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, hurricanes are on the way. Do not wait. Do not hesitate. There's a payment plan to make it easy for you, okay? Just go to sunshinesimple.com and take a look at it. Do your research. It's the world's most powerful solar generator for the lowest price, guaranteed. Sunshinesimple.com. Just go look at it and then make a wise decision. Listen to this story from Maryland. That's a place that often is covered with snow quite early in the year. Early in the season when winter starts rolling around. Okay, a guy walked into a bank there in Maryland with a very bold request. Now, this story, I don't believe, says exactly how old this man is. I'm presuming he may be, you know, on the younger side. But he goes in and he asked to access the bank account of the First Lady, Michelle Obama. And, of course, the teller was absolutely shocked. And she asked him, why on earth would he want to do that? And he told them that he is the adopted son of Barack and Michelle Obama, that they contacted him on Facebook and said they wanted to adopt him. And now he deserved access to the bank account. Well, for one thing, the bank didn't even have an account with Mrs. Obama. So the woman called the police. The guy actually stuck around long enough for the police to arrive. He refused to leave the bank. He told the police the same story, and then they ran a background check on him and found out that he had outstanding warrants for resisting arrest and assaulting a public servant. They also found two bags of marijuana in his pockets before arresting him. You know, I wonder, we all know it's bad news when you go into a bank and you rob it by, you know, you say, I've got a gun or whatever. But what happens when you just go in and say something stupid like that? What is the penalty? I have no idea. I mean, Forrest, Shelley, do you guys have any idea what the crime is here?
No idea.
Being an idiot.
Idiot. Yeah, that sounds like it.
Yeah, that's weird. It always reminds me, I'll never forget, and, you know, I tell this story from time to time on the radio about a good friend of mine and a good friend of ours, actually, but I won't say his name, who called me up very sad one day because something had happened with his girlfriend, and I said, oh, no, you know, what'd she do? I figured she'd messed around with another guy. He says, oh, she robbed a bank. I said, what? His girlfriend had gone and robbed a bank. Never expected to hear that coming out of his mouth, and I presume she's in prison right now. I haven't kept up with it, but she was in prison, and I bet she's still there. Here's a weird story from Moscow. Moscow has recently been the target of what they are calling zombie pigeons. Before their deaths, these pigeons were exhibiting zombie-like behavior, ignoring cars and passersby, wandering around completely mindless until they eventually died. All the birds were found to have a common intestinal infection that they say is fortunately not dangerous to humans. Yes. And, well, yeah. That's that. We keep seeing one little story after another, year after year, indicating some type of a zombie-like situation that may be about to erupt or occur or possibly could in humans. It's like that story from the CDC that we had last year where they just had a whole section on their website about how to deal with a zombie apocalypse. Yeah, you've seen these documentaries on animal shows or animal channels, Forrest, about, I think it's ants that can be taken over as zombies.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's some kind of parasite that gets into their brain and is able to sort of drive them like it's at the wheel. If that can happen to an ant, can it happen to a human?
Why not?
Yeah. And maybe it does happen all the time. Here's a story from Volusia County, Florida. And it says here, a guy went berserk there and began wielding a samurai sword and throwing knives at his mother's boyfriend. This guy was 34 years old. He used the sword to break down a door and threw kitchen knives at family members after his mother's boyfriend accused him of taking a can of shrimp. The guy who's 34, again, says he didn't remember everything that happened, that he, quote, went into the code red ninja mindset and lost his temper, end quote, when accused of taking the can of shrimp. Maybe that's a guy. Maybe a little anger management for this guy. Here's a story from Scott, Louisiana. A drunk Louisiana man was arrested after he rode a horse into a saloon called Cowboys. Okay, now so far, I can understand this, right? I know you're not supposed to, but it's Louisiana. It's a saloon called Cowboys. Guy rides a horse in there. This is not like the story from England where, some lady rides a horse in.
Well, there used to be a saloon up here in West North Carolina called Cowboys.
Which was featured in the movie Inbred Rednecks.
Yes, and I wouldn't dare ride a horse in that place.
Well, this guy went a little too far, they say, because not only did he ride into the saloon, but then he lassoed an unsuspecting man and rode the horse around the parking lot, dragging the surprised, bound bar patron behind him. Everybody said this was not all in good fun, that this was unacceptable behavior. This was a major disturbance. It was not, this was not a good situation. And, the guy who was on the horse was 26 and he roped a 47-year-old man with the lasso. And, I wonder if the 47-year-old man was thereafter forced to always tell the truth.
Ta-da.
Who gets that one?
I got it. Wonder Woman.
Shelley got the Wonder Woman reference?
Of course.
I figured that you would you wouldn't like Wonder Woman because you're a redhead and she's a brunette.
I love Wonder Woman. I have Wonder Woman as a magnet on my refrigerator.
Is that right?
Yes.
Who's your favorite redheaded superhero lady?
Who was it in X-Men?
Avengers. Are you talking about the Scarlett Johansson character?
No, I didn't see that.
In Avengers? In X-Men? Okay, well, we got to take a break. When we come back, last week I read a story about a guy stuffing puppies down his pants. Here's one about a woman stuffing puppies under her shirt. Not the first time I've ever heard of puppies in a woman's shirt, but we will clarify things when we return. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It is the program where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the downright weird. It's called Speaking of Strange. We are in the final minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren. Keep in mind, next hour, boy, are we excited about my guest. His name is Darren Hussey, and he is an artist, and he is the man, the sculptor, who carved the alien statue in my Asheville Mystery Museum, the one that once belonged to Art Bell, the statue that apparently comes to life from time to time and scares the bejesus out of people. So we are going to hear from him for the first time on the actual origin of Carville the Alien. And if you want to see this alien, go to AshevilleMystery.com, AshevilleMystery.com, and I believe you'll find a picture of Art Bell's alien there. And also, if you visit JoshuaPWarren.com, you can look at the collection I have called The World's Wildest Ghost Photos. No period after the P there at JoshuaPWarren.com. Here's a story from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. A couple walked into a Murfreesboro pet store, and they allegedly walked out with a Pekingese puppy underneath a woman's shirt. The couple entered there and put the 12-week-old puppy there within, to say that she walked around, picked him up, held him for a little bit, slipped him in, and walked right out. They said that this puppy is worth $700. And we were talking last week about how expensive some of these puppies can be. Obviously, the people there are very disturbed. They say, quote, "It's one thing to shoplift a thing, which is terrible in and of itself, but to shoplift a living being that needs care and has people who worry about it just makes that a different thing entirely." So right now, the police are looking into this. They apparently have video, and they're trying to find this woman who stole this puppy.
Actually, my brother lives in Murfreesboro, so...
Oh, yeah?
He might be a suspect.
Maybe. If he goes in there, does he have a wife or something like that?
Yeah.
Does he have a woman? Okay, well, there you go. You have to ask him if his wife has got some extra puppies under her shirt. Which I guess it's a great time to say puppyfest.com again, huh? The big Puppy Fest is coming up next month in Asheville. Go check it out, puppyfest.com. But, you know, we also, what's that for us?
I was going to ask you, like, what different categories your Puppy Fest, is there like a wiener dog category? Is there like a like toy dog category? Is there like a large dog category? Anything like that that's going to be for prizes?
No, we're not breaking it up like a dog show. We're just looking for one puppy that's got star quality. It's like the American Idol of puppies. So we're going to have some five different contests, if you will. We're going to do a puppy casting call, where we'll see how photogenic each puppy is. And then we're going to do a puppy friendliness, where we open up a puppy petting booth, and all the attendees can spend time there interacting and petting the dogs. And then three, puppy feistiness, where we're going to host a little funny race to see which ones are the most energetic and competitive. And then four, there's puppy personality, which is a costume contest in which each puppy takes the stage. And then category number five is plea for your puppy, where we feature the owners as they tell us about their relationship with the puppy and why that puppy should be a star. But there's only one winner. Could be any breed. So we'll see how that goes. But here's a cat story, which I find interesting. And again, you know, I know that some people have said we need to do Kitty Fest next. Maybe we will. This is from Uniontown, Pennsylvania. And I personally consider this a very light sentence. But a southwestern Pennsylvania man apparently robbed a bank, stole a car, and rammed a state police cruiser before being captured. When they asked him why he did this, he said it was because his cat told him to. Yeah, his talking cat said, quote, "The cat was telling him to hit the cops," end quote, as well. So they are evaluating this man mentally, who is still supposedly seeing things and hearing voices. He pled guilty, And so, again, only 2.5 to 5 years for doing all that, and he also has to repay $1,572 to the bank. Sounds like a very small amount of money to throw away your life, but, you know, that's how it goes often. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to have the artist, the sculptor, the man who created Art Bell's alien statue that supposedly comes to life from time to time at my Ashley. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. Stick around for more of Speaking of Strange.